Well, now let's go to this past Saturday's White House Correspondents' Dinner. It brought journalists and entertainment glitterati together for a night of laughs and selfies. The president, a hit, doing stand-up. He told jokes, and major broadcast stations responded with red carpet wall-to-wall coverage. But here's Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
Unfortunately, here's the problem. Whilst the A-list of America's media political complex fiddled on this Saturday night,
this is the scene in Baltimore at the latest protest over the death of Freddie Gray. Gray died from a mysterious spinal injury while he was in police custody.
The protest did turn violent.
Thousands of protesters stormed the streets.
People that obviously want to have their voices heard.
Yes, not 40 miles from District of Mimosa, actual news was occurring.
NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik has some thoughts on that. And David, you know, this is pretty fish in a barrel, but weigh in. Were you watching or were you at the dinner?
No. I was actually up at my university for events there over the weekend. And so I was actually following through the newer version of cable news, which is Twitter, which was giving, you know, live updates from people. I happen to be following a ton of folks who are journalists, and I follow a ton of people from Baltimore because I worked for the Baltimore Sun for over a decade. Right. So in that sense, I was getting a lot of updates from people with interest from a variety of different perspectives that way.
But if you were watching CNN, as I was on occasion, it was disconcerting. You saw people in ball gowns on a red carpet talking about what was going on inside the dinner and very occasionally saying, oh, and there's unrest in Baltimore. Your thoughts?
Well, the crazy thing about that is it's almost as though it's the Goldilocks problem. Can you get, you know, is the porridge too warm, hot? You know, is the porridge too cold? And CNN seems to have gotten it wrong in both ways. In the days leading up to Saturday night when unrest really became violent and you saw riot, CNN almost seemed to be predicting and anticipating that the protests would turn violent, and the protests were not violent. In fact, a former colleague of mine at The Sun, Michael Hill, who's covered conflict in Africa as a foreign correspondent for that newspaper, you know, he said, you know, OK, you got the riots that you were looking for, CNN. Are you happy now? You know, he's not somebody who usually goes around bashing the media. And yet in this instance, he said there was a hyperbolic nature of the coverage there. Similarly, I saw a clip from a protester yesterday being interviewed by one of MSNBC's anchors. And she said, look, you know, we protested peacefully for 6 days and really most of the national press didn't pay attention sufficiently to what we were contending about, the grievances against police and the use and abuse of authority in this city. And then after violence spills over, after, you know, buildings get looted and a couple of squad cars get burned, you know, at that point you start paying very close attention. Indeed, where are your priorities in the media? And I thought, you know, she raised some pretty valid questions there.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you work for the Baltimore Sun, as you said. They did an extraordinary report in 2014 about police excessive use of force in Baltimore and the money that had been paid out. And in The Atlantic in April, Connor Friedersdorf, who says he writes about media, said he was embarrassed that he hadn't paid attention to anything that was happening in Baltimore until the most recent case.
Well, there's an ongoing narrative and conversation about Baltimore that bubbles up at moments of real contention and then fades away. And that fading away doesn't do Baltimore any favors because there are institutions and people in Baltimore over time who've tried to tackle questions of entrenched poverty, questions of you know, drug abuse and drug violence and other attendant problems there, but clearly haven't cracked that issue, even as there has been a drop in significant way in violent crime and homicides, starting with then-Mayor Martin O'Malley, who's now the former governor of Maryland and who's running for president on his record in some ways, trying to focus on issues like that. But, you know, those larger societal issues in Baltimore haven't been cracked. Mayors, both black and white, have had real trouble with that. One of the elements of that story from the Baltimore Sun that you mentioned from September 2014, the second sentence of it says, one hidden cost for the payouts of nearly $6 million over the last few years for lawsuits claiming that police officers brazenly beat up alleged suspects. The hidden cost in that second sentence, they say, the perception that officers are violent can poison the relationship between residents and police. Mm-hmm. And that may sound squishy. That may sound a little bit intangible. At the same time, I think it undergirds the kind of passion and anger that you saw at the protest and that spilled over into the lawlessness that occurred on Saturday night.
And just briefly, David, we just have a few seconds. But to the criticism that the press seemed to be standing around hoping for riots, they're in a tough position perhaps because if they're not there, then they're accused of not being there to be witness.
I think it's a news story on both ends of it. The question is the tone and the calibration, and in some ways a more finely rendered portrait can be elicited from looking on social media and getting sort of an overview from these little tiles, a mosaic approach to understanding the bigger picture. You know, things weren't all violent, and yet that lawlessness was, terribly wrong after a terribly violent incident.
We'll take this up again. NPR's David Folkenflik, thanks so much.
You bet.